teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, usually I begin by saying my hellos and, you know, calling your names out. I have so much information. I want to be able to finish this whole teaching. And by Friday, I want to be done. Yesterday, I began to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and to put them in three different groups. And I showed you that Paul the Apostle had all the gifts of the Spirit. Today, I'm going to continue by going through each gift, and I'm going to teach on three gifts and explain them. But if you recall, in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 8, it begins to tell us about the gifts. But before we begin, Father, I thank you that you're going to show us much today about the Holy Spirit. Be our teacher in the name of Jesus. Touch every life, meet every need, answer every prayer and every cry. In Jesus' sweetest name today, Lord, meet every need. God's sweet people said, Amen. And I sure love you, and you are my wonderful partner, and I thank God for you. I really mean that. All right, verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another the gifts of healings, of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And this is why people say, well, it says to another, meaning like we can't have all of them. And I showed you yesterday, oh yes, we can, because Paul did. And to make it simpler for us, let's put them under three headlines. Remember yesterday I said that you, revelation gifts, vocal gifts, power gifts. So when you have the gifts kind of broken down into revelation gifts, which are what? The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. These are gifts that God has to reveal. Then you have the vocal gifts that you speak, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Then you have the power gifts, faith, healing, miracles. So when you put them in that order, it kind of clarifies a lot for us. Now, let's begin today by breaking it down, because yesterday I gave you the introduction. Let's begin. I am so excited, I want to shout, but I'll just behave myself right now. Let's look at the word of wisdom. The gift cannot be, this gift, the word of wisdom, because remember, I give them to you in three orders. I'm going to begin with the revelation gifts. We're going to go to the vocal gifts, power gifts. So first, wisdom. This gift cannot be gained through study or experience, but neither is it a substitute for study or experience. We need study and experience, but that's not how the gift comes. And notice, it's not a word of wisdom, it's the word of wisdom, which means it's the application of God's wisdom to a situation. Let me show you the first time it was used, and that was the Lord Jesus himself in Luke 4. I tell you, you see, you know, the gifts of the Spirit through the Lord. It's incredible. In Luke chapter 4, verse 3, you know, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone it be made bread. And then, you know, Jesus now, as he's tempted by the enemy, needed wisdom. So, you can go right through verse 3 to verse 13. But if you read the answers, it's quite amazing. Here we see the enemy using knowledge to tempt the Lord, but Jesus using wisdom to overcome the devil. We need wisdom. And he knew how to apply the word, because this is what wisdom is. It's the application of knowledge. He knew how to apply the word for the right moment. Remember, it's the application of God's word. It's the application of God's wisdom. The wisdom of his word. The wisdom by his word to a situation where there is a need there. So Jesus answers, man shall not live by bread alone. What amazing wisdom to me. He overcomes the enemy by knowing exactly what to say. And in every case, you go right through verse 13, where he was tempted, you know, where the enemy says, worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms. Get behind me, Satan. It's written, you'll worship the Lord your God. Bang. You know. And I love, well, throw yourself down, because it says in the Bible, he'll send the angels to catch you. And Jesus says, you'll not tempt the Lord your God. Bang. That's amazing wisdom. And the devil flees. So, it's so important you see how the Lord used wisdom. For example, in Matthew, and that's the gift. In Matthew 22, verse 15, you see amazing wisdom used. It says, then when the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk, and they sent out these people with the Herodians and so on. And he said, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? You know, they were trying to trap him. And the Lord says, why are you tempting me, you hypocrites? He said, show me a piece of money. That's wisdom. He says, what does it show you? Come on. Whose image is this? Render to Caesar what belongs to him and render to God. Shuts them right down. Wisdom, dear God. How I needed that amazing gift one time. I was in India. We had 3 million people in that service. The news was all over the place. Every news organization was there that night. Very bright woman, very bright lady, asked me a question. And I remember, you know, Jensen Franklin was with me, and a lot of preachers came from the U.S. to support me. And Jensen was stunned by what happened. So the lady says, well, you came to tell us about Jesus. Why didn't you tell us about, and she named some God I never heard of. And I knew it was a trick. Because she was trying to have me say something negative about their religion. And I said, well, because she said, why didn't you talk about such and such a God that we worship? And here's what I said. I said, well, I have no right to talk about a God I don't know. I said, if I knew him, I'd gladly talk about him. But I said, since I know Jesus, he's the only one I can talk about, and shut her right down. Because she was trying to say, why didn't you talk about our God? And my answer was, because I don't know your God. And I said, I have no right to talk about someone I don't know. I said, but since I know Jesus, I have every right to talk about him. And Jensen came, he said, that was wisdom from heaven. Because everybody was like, because she asked me a much longer question. I'm just, you know, giving you that short version of it. Everybody was like, man, the tension was really bad in the back. When I said that, it shut her right down, everybody else with her. How we need that wisdom today. The word of wisdom. Paul the apostle, when answering, and because you see the wisdom in Paul so beautifully too, that word of wisdom was an operation. Lord Jesus, give us that gift again, Lord. Come on, lift your hands and ask him. Lord, give your people that word of wisdom, I pray, in Jesus' glorious name. I worship you, Redeemer. Manta kolal metro pialba kinti manta meno. I give you praise. Give you praise. Acts 23, verse 6. You know, if I go into a praise break, let me, okay? You can actually join me. So, Paul now answering the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it says, and when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he said, men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he said that, you know, they nearly all fought each other. And he was freed. So it says in verse 10, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, took him away. What wisdom is that? Wow. So, it's the supernatural impartation of facts. That's what the word of wisdom is. And in fact, that gift comes by prayer. And it's not only, well, let me just give it to you. Ephesians 1, verse 17. You need to pray for it. That's what I just did. That the God of our Lord, Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. So we need that so bad. And the gift is needed in because when you see it in operation, it's needed for the operation of all the other gifts. We can't see the other gifts in operation properly without wisdom. Now, the second, word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is where specific information is given to you by the Holy Spirit to solve a problem. Because, or to solve a need in someone's life. The word of knowledge is specific information that reveals a specific problem and solves it, brings it to an end. So in Acts 5:3, Peter with Ananias and Sapphira, he had a word of knowledge that they agreed to tempt the Holy Spirit and keep the money that they had promised to give to the Lord from the land they had sold. And so that word of knowledge, had Peter not dealt with it, it would have corrupted the early church. It would have brought poison into the early church. So it's an amazing and needed gift to not only solve problems, but eliminate confusion, eliminate harm from the church. We need it so, so much. Or, you know, maybe in your own ministry, if you're a minister. I will never forget, I had a guy on staff one time. He had just come from Vietnam, and he was kind of messed up a little bit, you know. Sorry, because of the war. And he was a troublemaker for me. That I just began OCC. I turned around one Sunday morning and I gave a word of knowledge about him that God would remove him. And boy, you should have seen his face. I gave like some detailed about him. And I remember my secretary at the time, lovely old lady, and her husband, she came up to me, she said, "That was the word of knowledge, Pastor Benny. And it was strong. You could feel it in the whole building, you know." So it's not just about someone is being healed off, which is the same. But sometimes you have a word of knowledge about someone on your staff that wants to do you harm and you expose it. How we need it today. So it is similar to the witness of the Spirit mentioned in Romans 8:16, how we have the witness. And it's something deep inside of you. I don't know how to say it to you. It's one of the hardest things to explain. It's not mental. It's not a mental thing where you know the word of knowledge. It's deep in your being. And nothing can shake it out of you. Nothing can say to you, it's not there. It's a definite impression. It's like in Hosea 12:10, talks about the similitude of the Lord, you know. You have an impression and everything becomes alive in you and you just know it. It's one of the most amazing gifts, to be honest with you, that I've seen work in my own life, in the Crusades especially. Now, that gift needs the scriptures to be quickened. Because in Acts, let me show you. In Acts chapter 1, this is very revealing here. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, they had been praying and looking at the word. And in those days it says, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together, about 120. He said, men and brethren, this scripture, in other words, he had been reading it, has to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spoke, and we need to replace Judas. That was the word of knowledge and operation where he said, we can't be, you know, limited. We need to fill the office, because I think he had just read from what it says here that he had read in the Psalms where the office had to be replaced, Judas' office. And so he said, men and brethren, this scripture must be fulfilled, which David spoke by the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, this is really blessed, because here this gift is ignited through studying the Bible. I remember one time up in Northern Canada, I had a service, and I was reading the Bible. Boy, you talk about that word of knowledge working that night. It's happened every time in my crusades when I spend time with the Lord. That's when the word of knowledge starts to work. And also, worship ignites it tremendously. Worship ignites it. So, because it needs the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. So the word of knowledge, not like the word of wisdom, is the application of facts, the application of the word, you know, application of knowledge. This one has to do with where God gives you a solution to a problem or an answer to someone's sickness, let's say, or problem they're going through. But the word and worship has ignited it. And it's like a witness where you know you're saved. You know, you can't shake it out of you. Romans 8:16 talks about that. Okay. Now, let's quickly talk about discerning of spirits. And then tomorrow I'm going to get into it because I'm almost out of time. It's the supernatural ability to detect or to perceive the source of a spiritual manifestation. Whether it's from the Lord, whether it's from the spirit of man, or whether it's from the devil. So in Acts 10, and I'll continue tomorrow, but think about this. In Acts 10, 30 to 35, Peter discerned the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Cornelius when it was not possible at that time to even associate with Gentiles. Because to a Jew, God would never talk to a Gentile. To a Jew, the Gentile was an outsider. He was not a part of the covenant. Now God has to show Peter a vision of a sheet with animals in it. He walks, you know, well, later anyways, God opens the door for him to go to the house of Cornelius. He had every right to say, you know what, I'm making a mistake here. What am I doing here? But he knew by the Holy Spirit, this is the Holy Ghost here. Even though his tradition was against it, everything he knew as a Jew rejects it, yet when he stood there, he discerned that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, even when it was against everything he ever believed. Or in Acts 8, he discerned the human spirit in Simon the sorcerer. Now remember, this gift enables you to discern whether it's the Lord in something, or it's your spirit, like human spirit, or it's the devil. So he discerned the Holy Spirit in Acts 10, when it was totally impossible, but he did. He discerned the human spirit in Acts 8, where Simon the sorcerer wanted to buy with money the gifts, and he rebuked him. In Acts 16, verse 16 through 19, Paul discerned a demon in someone who was speaking truth about him. So, and I'm going to get back into it, you know, tomorrow, because there's a few things I really didn't cover, especially on discerning the human spirit in Simon, the sorcerer, and discerning demons when they come across like they're holy and right and everything is right with them. There's a lot of people out there who are, you know, forgive me to say, they have demons, and we are not able to discern them because some people, I'm so sorry, are not living right. So we need to get back to what the Bible says, and every one of us needs to do what is right so we can discern right. And that is something we have to stir continually, because remember what Paul said to Timothy, stir the gift. And he said it in his own lifetime. So it was not long after he had laid hands on Timothy that he said, stir up that gift. And here we've been 2,000 years now after the Bible had been given to us. And we need to keep stirring up the gift because it's important to do what God said. So Paul discerns a demon in someone who was saying, these are the servants of God who come to show us the way of salvation. Now, what's the purpose? The purpose is to protect. The purpose is to guard our Christian life. And it's not mind reading, I can assure you. So, let's continue tomorrow, because there's a lot I want to say about this, because there's so much happening today out there that we need to talk about. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your people with this teaching. Lord, help them today to stir up the gift through your word, through prayer, through your wonderful presence in their life. And I agree with them, Lord, today that every gift will be stirred up. Your blessed gifts in each one of them, in the name of Jesus. I give you praise. On Friday, I'm going to pray with you that the Lord will fill you or refill you with the Holy Spirit. And if you've not received some of the gifts, that you'll receive them on Friday. I'm serious with you. So make sure to join me. All right. Tomorrow I'm going to continue, and then I'm going to get into the vocal gifts and then the power gifts. So we're going to talk about tongues and interpretation of tongues, prophecy. We begin tomorrow. Now, it's time to give to the Lord's work. It's time to obey the commandments of the Lord. And it's all over the Bible. The reason God blessed Abraham is because he was a giver. You know, you think about what it says in the Bible about Jacob. What he says to God, he says, if you'll take me and bring me back safe, that's in Genesis 28, I'll give you 10%. And he obeyed that, and God blessed him. Before him, Isaac, his father. After him, his own children. And to this day, the Jewish people are the greatest givers to their synagogues. Greatest givers. Because it's in them, it's in their blood to be givers. I'm telling you, it's something that they grow up with. They're taught by their parents, and that's why God has blessed them. The best doctors, the best lawyers, the best scientists, and so on are wonderful Jewish people. And you see how God has blessed them because of that giving heart they have. And today I want you to give to the Lord, because it's His command. It's not like a piece of advice. It says, give, it shall be given unto you. When God says give, he says, I'm giving you an order. And when we sow, we reap. But if we faint and give up, we don't reap anything. If we faint not, everything you sow, it's going to come back to you. And no devil can keep the harvest away from you when you obey the Lord, I'm telling you. So you sow that seed today and watch what God will do with you. It shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall man give to your bosom? I know you know that, but it's good to be reminded that the Bible says it. God will not fail you. I've not seen the righteous forsaken or receive begging bread. He'll never fail you no matter what. And expect this year a double harvest because of what happened last year. So you can sow right now on the platform you're watching me on. Just go to the where it says donate, or simply text the gift to the Lord, BHM45777, or simply go to benin.org. Much love to you. I'll see you tomorrow. Great teaching tomorrow again. All week, and then Friday, I'm going to finish the teaching and pray for you. Shalom.